Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
And good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. How about you?
I'm doing great on this beautiful Monday morning. And Swami, I'd like to congratulate you on your 101st radio show. Yay! And I'd like to thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our 101st show. And today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about Valentine's Day and the concept of love. The story of Valentine is pretty complex and has taken many forms and shapes through the years, but the gist of the day is romantic love. The Kriya Yoga spin on the dynamics of romantic love is explained by levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness. We'll explain the value of a primary relationship with the divine as a springboard to enrich intimate interpersonal relationships. We'll discuss the differences between the individual's concept of love from various levels of consciousness. Not all we call love is true love. Desire is the fire, but it all comes down to the fuel. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance and see the benefit that comes with a primary relationship with the divine. So, Swami, let's get started. So, what exactly do you mean by levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness? What does that have to do with love?
Love is really the principle of attraction. The whole thing of like attracts like. And I think once we understand that reality is multidimensional, that there are different dimensions of reality that would be associated with levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness. And one of the, I think, really great things that we have today is the discoveries of quantum physics that actually have helped prove mysticism with their discovery that underlying matter is energy and underlying energy is the void. And this whole thing of love or attraction is all going to be dependent upon what it is that we are drawing from. What energy field are we attached to? If we are attached to things that are visible and tangible, then we are attached to particles, which has a certain yield. It has a certain level of consciousness and degree of awareness that is associated with it. Unfortunately, it keeps our minds small and our feelings reduced to insatiable cravings. You're attached to duality or fear and limitation. Now, if you separate from your attachment to duality, excuse me, and you somehow connect to the realms of waves, the astral plane, then you are also connected to a dualistic dimension of reality. And again, it's limiting. It will keep your mind small and your feelings reduced to insatiable cravings. But if you are attached to this void or this nothing, this indivisible, unified field, that's the expansive principle. Then matter and mind will come together with new information. And that will initiate this progressive cycle. That will produce what we call apotheosis. And so the whole intention of Kriya Yoga is really to educate people in how to separate from our attachment to things visible and tangible or invisible and tangible, and attach to this indivisible unified field. And of course, when we desire this void or this nothing, then as we have been saying in these shows, matter and mind come together with new information. It produces something, which kind of the only way I really know how to explain is it starts up the mind-body complex. The human mind-body complex is not designed to run on particles or waves. It's designed to run on this indivisible unified field. So the more that you can understand the importance of what you desire and how that's going to affect your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness, how it's going to affect what it is that you are becoming, then the more that you would pay attention to some of the things that we're talking about here.
It seems like that word love is such a complex word, and it reminds me, when I was a child, I remember my father saying, you know, never use the Lord's name in vain. Like, you don't try to say things like, oh my God, you know, you try not to use the word God frivolously, because it takes the meaning of God and it doesn't make it as important as it should be. And it kind of sounds like that's what we do with the word love. Like, we just throw this word around to mean almost anything. You know, like, I love that dress. I'd love to have those shoes. Or that movie was great. I love that movie. And I think we have belittled that word love throughout the years, and it doesn't mean what I think it was intended to mean. So I don't know. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts on the word love?
Well, I do agree with you that it seems to have become an all-encompassing word that means anything to anybody. And, you know, to me, the concept of love has always been human perfection. It's the human being's ability to unconditionally give. And, of course, in order to be able to do that, the human being would have to be connected to a resource of energy that's inexhaustible. And, again, coming back to this primary relationship with your divinity, and even the concept of, you know, to love God. Because one of the things we always talk about in these shows is we really don't understand what God is or what it should be or what it looks like when I love God, because most of us are looking for an astral image, which is dualistic. And again, it's not the resource of energy that would give you the return that you're really looking for. And this concept of being attached or attracted to this void or this nothing has a completely different return for the individual. And some of the benefits that come with that is you do have this benefit of internal support, but you also have a better understanding of, I want to say, the highest octave of the word love. Because like you say, most of us, you know, we do love the shoes that we have. I mean, we're not lying. I mean, that's what we're attracted to. That's what we're drawn to, and if love is the law of attraction. But one of the things that we try and bring to people's attention is that whatever it is that you love is going to have a big effect on what it is that you become. And the whole intention of Kriya Yoga, and actually every religion on this planet in its original format, was to educate an individual into how to learn how to love this void or this nothing, this indivisible unified field, this energy field that is expansive, that enables us to grow as opposed to stay small.
You were talking about the different octaves of love, and it came to my mind about, I had read somewhere that for example, the love that a mother has for her children, that is like one of the purest forms of love. And then once you have that feeling, then that's the kind of feeling we should associate for the love we should have for God.
Yes, you're 100% right. And I really like what Elizabeth Hyatt says about that in Initiation, you know, because that the love that the mother has for the child is a really interesting dynamic because of the attachment to the child. And one of the things that she discovers in it, that the thought of losing her child is so devastating to her. If you really cross-examine and you think about it, it's really not love, a human being's ability to unconditionally give. It has a very strong expectation to it. And so as a result, it's really kind of subject to disappointment and suffering. So a big part of figuring out this whole concept of love, to really unconditionally give, and one of the things we talked about in our previous show on Valentine's Day was, in Greece they have four words that they associate with the concept of love. And really interestingly enough, that you can really cross-examine them with elements or levels of consciousness. That, you know, storge was like affection, and philia was the whole realms of friendship. And eros is the whole realms of sexual attraction. And the last one was what they called agape, which was God's love for humanity. This whole thing of unconditional giving. And the more I think that we understand that these are states of being that can be attainable, you know, based on just like what we're talking about, we can change what it is that we desire. We can change the reward circuits in our brains, we can change our neurological pathways so that eventually we desire this void or this nothing. And of course, when we do that, then we change.
Well, that sounds like a monumentous undertaking that we would have to go through, especially because we're so conditioned to, when we want something or get something, we are expecting something in return. So I think we have to stop that kind of conditioning or somehow reprogram ourselves not to have an expectation on the results.
Yeah, I think what we do is we change it. I really don't think that there's anything wrong with expectation and return. I just think that it's really helpful if you understand that it's not the highest octave of love. And so that when you are interacting on an intimate interpersonal level, I think it's all about expectation and return, because that's the dynamics of the relationship. But that's not what I would call the true love part. The true love part is of course, more that has to do with the individual and their relationship with the divine. You know, that my whole sense of well-being is totally established in the forces that are really important to me, so that I don't need for you to do something for me. I just reduce it down to a want. And of course, if I don't get what I want, I don't have to respond as if I'm going to die, which doesn't negate expectation and return, but it makes it smaller and more manageable.
I agree. We're going to hold that thought for a moment or two. So we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. So, listeners, we'll be back in a few moments. And at that time, I can open up the phone lines. If you have any questions for Swami, you can ask him at that time. We'll be with you in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So at this time, if you have a question for Swami, you can ask it at this time. The phone lines are open. All right, good, Swami. I'm just going to go and ask you my next question on my list. And we had talked before. There's a story about a teacher and a student, and the teacher takes the student to the water and puts his head underneath the water, and he's gasping and, you know, arms are flailing around, and he keeps holding him under and holding him under. And then he finally lets him up out of the water and says something to the effect of, to the student, when you want breath as, you know, when you want God as much as you want your next breath, that's what it's like to want this love of God. Can you expound upon that story for us?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it's all about, and that's exactly how it's supposed to work. That when we change the reward circuits in our brain, when we change these neurological pathways, then what we're basically doing is we're now using the availability of what we really do need as a symbol that we now use to produce the feeling that we're okay. And that's a major thing, that if you understand that, then you can start to use things like your next breath as kind of like a barometer. Because a lot of us, oftentimes, we're in crisis. We're responding as if we're in danger when we're not in a real life-threatening situation. That's when we can't distinguish between what's imagined and what's real. There's something wrong with the patterning, the programming in the mind-body complex. And one of the things that we learn in the practice of Kriya Yoga that we teach is how to change that pattern. That when we're working with our physical bodies, that we actually are able to change the pattern. And the whole key when you are changing the pattern is that you want to really wire the panel in the way that it's going to work the best. And so the whole thing of using your number one need as this symbol for validation is of the utmost importance.
So my question to you is, how do we wake up in the morning and our first thought to me maybe should be, you know, I thank God for, you know, this day that's about to unfold before me, and what can I do to make, you know, my life more godlike, as well as, you know, how do I give back? How do I give back to humanity? And that would be putting me on the right path. Am I on the right track here?
Well, to answer your question, not exactly. That's the whole concept of gratitude, and that whole thing is not the same as when one actually feels connected to the life force, that you're not grateful for all of the things that this cosmic puppeteer has dispatched to you. and given you, it's a whole different dynamic that you actually are. Your sense of well-being is totally established based on the availability of what you really do need. And that is associated with your peak experience feeling. That's what I think that teacher was talking about, that a lot of us try and do it intellectually when our bodies are still attached to things visible and tangible or invisible and tangible. And that, then, of course, it's more of an intellectual accomplishment as opposed to the change that actually goes deep enough, that you change the reward circuits in your brain. You change this pattern of your body that now you desire, you long for the void. And as long as you feel connected to it, your sense of well-being is established, that I'm okay, I'm having a great day.
And it's through that connection, I think, that what you said before, and that's what makes everything else possible. That's what enriches all the other secondary relationships that we have. I mean, the relationship with God should be the primary relationship. But then once we have that, that makes everything else we have, all the secondary relationships, that much more better.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. In fact, that show that we did, I can't remember how long ago, but it was Sex Out of Marriage is a Sin. And we talk about how we unbox that. That this whole thing of most of us, first of all, we think marriage is the promise that you make to another person and you know, comes with the license. But the marriage is really the union of the individual with the divine. And to try and take this physical union of two human beings without this deeper union of the individual with the divine, it doesn't have the same power, doesn't have the same dynamic. And the whole concept of the word sin doesn't mean that it's behavior that is now punishable by this cosmic puppeteer. It means you're missing the mark. It means that you're trying to do something in a way that it's not intended to be done. And we talked about the whole thing of cutting down a tree with a chainsaw without starting it up. And so the concept of sex out of marriage is a sin is this trying to take this physical union without this deeper union with the divine doesn't have the same dynamic, and it doesn't have the power that it was intended to have. But just like you said, when you have this primary relationship, you're connected to your creativity, your imagination, endless possibilities, that you're constantly refreshing everything that you're doing with positive mental imagery. And like you said, now you can enrich all of your relationships. You can enrich your whole experience with the physical world, but you're not drawing off of it. That your sense of well-being is totally established in the forces that are really important to you. And the deepest one is unchanging. So you have this constant.
And then that's what we truly mean, what is true love, right? Like we said in the beginning of the program, that we have to have first before we can really understand love for another human being.
Right. You know, I mean, that's that whole saying, you really have to learn to love yourself before you can love another. Because most of what we call love, and especially the whole romantic encounter, after a while you start to see that we're competing for energy on a limited level. I mean, a lot of it is just what was referred to as control dramas. It's all about Mr. Hard to Get, Mrs. Hard to Get competition. And at some point, if you can somehow balance that out, then you're somehow successful. But for the most part, it's a pretty rocky road. And so when you have this primary relationship with your divinity, your exchange of energy is you're not siphoning off of intimate interpersonal relationships or interpersonal relationships. You're actually in a position to give back. That whole concept of your ability to unconditionally give, to give without any need for return, is optimal. And in order to do that successfully, not just intellectually, you really have to make this internal connection with the divine.
Is that what C.S. Lewis meant when he wrote, it's not God's love for humanity, it's humanity's love for God? Is that what that means? Is that his love for us is already there. It's we have to be the ones to internalize it and turn it around. Like you say, that would the panels wired and everything else from there is enriched.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. The problem with the world is not God's love for humanity. I mean, we all have it. If you're alive, you have God's love. You have your number one need. The problem with the world is that humanity doesn't know what God is anymore. And so we are attached to this concept of a false God, a different energy field. And the problem is that we're not becoming these humans in the adult state. We're not becoming, we don't understand this whole thing of apotheosis, this process of the human becoming divine any longer. And so that's the thing that I think that the programs that we have introduced and created are doing quite successfully.
And this is such a great topic. I think maybe Thursday night in our Theory 2 class, we should probably explore this topic even further for those of you who are interested in that. And I believe it's probably about that time we need to start closing down our program for today. So I would like to invite you listeners out there to visit the website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. And be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once there, you can also post comments about the show or any ideas for shows you may want us to consider in the future. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. I believe we're going to be unboxing the full moon that's going to happen next week. In the meantime, please email me at lisa@ipdtransform.com with any questions you would like Swami to answer about the next show, or even questions about previous shows that you might be listening to archived. So, Swami, any final thoughts or comments or questions about today's program or next week?
Well, I hope everybody did have a wonderful Valentine's Day, and for those of you that may not be involved in any kind of romantic relationship, that you were at least able to maybe capitalize on your primary relationship with your divinity and feel connected to this life force. And maybe if you are looking for a romantic relationship, when you have that sense of connectedness to this greater whole, it's a whole lot easier, I think, to do it. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I would wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.